We have our own version of dueling pianos. Thank you, Al and Karen. Join me in the spirit of prayer, if you would. Our Lord God, may the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable into your sight. May those things said this morning that are true be engraved upon every heart. And if anything is said that is false, may it be quickly forgotten and cause no harm. In your name, we very humbly pray. Amen. The text for this morning comes from the gospel lesson, that very first verse, last verse, that Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Arthur Miller wrote a play in 1947 entitled All My Sons. It was based on a real life event that occurred in Ohio during World War II. There was an airplane manufacturer that had produced and distributed defective engines, and as a consequence, 21 officers in the Army Air Force were killed with accidents. Then Senator Harry S. Truman was asked to lead up a congressional committee to explore how money was spent during World War II, and in his hearings, he uncovered this error and this cover-up. So Arthur Miller, from that event, wrote the play for All My Sons. The main character is a man named Joe Keller. He has five sons. His eldest son, Chris, spent 2 years in World War II. One of his other sons went missing in action and was never found. Joe Keller and his partner, Steve Deaver, owned a manufacturing plant that manufactured Air Force engines that they sold to the Air Force. And when Harry S. Truman's investigative commission uncovered their cover-up, Joe Keller, in common parlance, threw his partner Steve Deaver under the bus. He cast all the blame for the secret upon Deaver, who was sentenced to prison. Now, Jesus once said that whatever is said in the darkness of secrecy will be proclaimed from the rooftop, and whatever is hidden will be revealed. And so it was with Joe Keller. There came a time when his secret was discovered. And as he faced the consequences of the cover-up and what he had done, his son, Chris, had come home from war and was engaged to Joe Keller's former business partner. There is a scene in the play in which Chris confronts his father. "How could you do this? How could you knowingly do this?" Chris said to his father. "You knowingly sent defective engines into the war zone, killing 21 American soldiers. You did nothing less but to murder them. How could you sleep with yourself? How could you do this?" Joe Keller, in trying to defend himself, told Chris that he had done it for the family. He had done it to protect them. And what he had done was no different than what a lot of other people had done. He was no worse than many other men. And totally wearied by the argument, Chris says, "I know you're no different than most men, but I never saw you as most men. I saw you as my dad. I thought you were better." Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's how the world works. Someone hits you, you hit them back harder. Someone takes advantage of you, you squish them. When you have someone down, you kick them because that's what you have them there for. The race goes to the fastest. Win at all cost. Second place is simply the first loser. And so Jesus in our text seems to be asking his disciples, that's how the world works, and so tell me, how is it working for you? What happens when you take revenge? What happens in families as things escalate, get out of hand, and soon there is break-off between family members? What happens in communities? What happens in churches? What happens in nations? What happened in Northern Ireland, where violence begat violence, that went on from one generation to another generation to another generation? What's happening in the Middle East? And what's happening in our own land? How are the ways of the world working for you? Jesus was saying to his disciples, you're not like other people. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are not like other people. I expect you to be better. In the first epistle of Peter, in the Old King James translation of the Bible, the writer of that epistle, the writer of that letter, says to the Christian community, you are a peculiar people. You are an odd people. You are different from the rest of the world. You have been called, you have been set apart to be an example to this world, so that they can catch a glimpse of what the kingdom of God looks like. You are God's ambassador. You are Christ's ambassador, proclaimers of this kingdom. You are Christ's witnesses to share the story of God's love in Jesus Christ by word and action, indeed, in Jerusalem, within your own community, in Judea, among those who have similar values to you, in Samaria, to those who are unlike you and whom you may even hate and distrust, as well as to the ends of the earth. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Perfect is a very interesting word. But when Jesus used that word, he was using it in the very same sense as we find in Leviticus 19:2, where perfect means to be whole, to be complete, to be mature. Essentially, Jesus is telling his disciples, it's time to grow up. Grow up. Be who God intended you to be as an individual and as a band of disciples and of a community of faith. Make a difference in this world. Battle the forces of darkness and evil wherever you may find it. Don't settle for the values of this world. As the Apostle Paul wrote, do not be conformed to this world, but rather be renewed by the transforming of your mind so that you can become more Christ-like. It is no longer I who live, the Apostle Paul wrote, but rather it is Christ who lives in me. So let Christ live in you, that your light shines in the midst of a world in darkness. That was Christ's challenge 2,000 years ago on that hillside as the crowds were gathering, and he took his disciples aside to speak to them about what it means to be a disciple in a world of need and want and hunger. And Christ's words echo still in our own lives today among those whom Christ has called to be his disciples. His challenge, his commission is the same. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. To God be the glory both now and forevermore. Amen. We stand in a great tradition of men and women and children who have professed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior for centuries. Let us stand, if we are able, and either recite or read the words of the Apostles' Creed that has united the church. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. Will you please lift your hearts with me as we pray as intercessors for creation, for our community, and for the church. God of all kindness, you gave your only Son because you love the world so much. We pray for the peace of the world, Lord. Move among us your Spirit. Break down the barriers of fear, suspicion, and hatred. Lord, heal the human family of its divisions and unite us in the bounds of justice and peace. We pray for our country, the President, Congress, the Governor and Mayors of Illinois, all elected and appointed officials. Lord, enrich our common life. Strengthen the forces of truth and goodness. Teach us to share prosperity, that those whose lives are impoverished may pass from need and despair to dignity and joy. And we pray for those who suffer. Lord, surround them with your love. Support them with your strength. Console them with your comfort. And give them hope and courage beyond themselves. We pray for our families and for those whom we love. Lord, protect them at home. Support them in times of difficulty and anxiety, that they may grow together in mutual love and understanding and rest content in one another. We pray for the church. Keep her true to the gospel and responsive to the gifts and needs of all. Make known your saving power in Jesus Christ by the witness of her faith, her worship, and her life. Amen. And the Christian life is marked by offering oneself to God, to be shaped and to be empowered, to be directed and to be changed by God. As followers of Christ, we are claimed by Jesus and we are set free by him. In response to God's gracious love given to us through Jesus Christ, we offer to God our lives, our gifts, our abilities, and our material goods for God's service, not out of compulsion or obligation, but with hearts of joy and thanksgiving because God has first given to us. I'd like to invite those who are receiving the offering to come forward and do so now.